We're looking at this series called Encounters. It's a series that Catherine's put together for us. We're going to be praying for her and the family a little bit later on holiday. And we started this series last week, and we're looking at encounters with Jesus. And as you read through the Gospels, read through the four books of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those accounts of Jesus' life, we meet people and we hear of people and we read of people who met Jesus and whose lives were transformed and changed. And we're going to be looking at some of those over the coming weeks. So for those of you who weren't here last week, you wouldn't have seen the list. So here's the list. Mary Magdalene we did last week. That's online. You can listen to that, back to that one. Matthew we're doing today. Next week, Nicodemus. Then a Samaritan woman. Not any old Samaritan woman, the Samaritan woman that met Jesus in John chapter 4. Peter, we're doing it as well. Philip, Lydia, didn't actually meet Jesus physically. She's a little bit late in the story. And Nathaniel. And then finally, Zacchaeus, which is harvest. That's where we're going to end up. Okay, so that's where we're going over the next couple of months. And all of these people, apart from Lydia, physically met Jesus and their lives were transformed. Lydia's life was transformed as well, as she met Jesus through his body, the church. But there are also other people that we read of in the Bible and in the stories of the Gospels who met Jesus and whose lives weren't transformed, whose lives weren't changed. There were those who listened to him and looked at him and heard what he said, and they didn't like what they heard. They didn't like what they were hearing. They didn't like the idea that actually they couldn't earn their way to God. And we live in a world where people still have that struggle. We still feel like we've got to do something to earn our way to God. We've got to do something to make God like us. We've got to do something to get to heaven. We've got to do something or give something or be something rather than just accept what God has done for us in Jesus. And pride gets in the way. And pride stops people accepting this free gift. And The New Testament talks about people who met Jesus, who heard Jesus, but they didn't like what they were hearing. They rejected him, and they chose to do things their own way. And we also find people who met Jesus and heard Jesus and encountered Jesus in their thousands, but actually didn't really do anything. They liked the experience. They liked being on the hill with Jesus, looking out over the Sea of Galilee, listening to this nice teacher talking, and then getting fed with fish and bread. You know, what's not to like? But where were those thousands of people in following Jesus? It was a moment, it was an experience, but actually it didn't really bother them. A bit, take it or leave it. And again, we live in a world, don't we, where people, the church is a good place to be. They like what the church does. They're nice people, but it's not for me. It's okay. And we have people in our world that also, that's their journey too. And I think I wanted to say that because it's really important that in this series, we don't just think that everybody encountered Jesus, their lives were transformed, because actually it's not that simple. It's how the individual responds to the invitation of Jesus and whether therefore they allow Jesus to transform or not. And maybe in our studies, and maybe some of the people who are going to listen to this online, you're in one of those other categories. You're not somebody that has actually yet invited Jesus and accepted what Jesus has done for us. Maybe you've rejected him. Maybe you want to do it your way. Maybe it's just not for you. Well, maybe as we kind of go on our studies, can I encourage you to stop and think a little bit about what Jesus is offering and how your life can be transformed as you allow Jesus in. We're going to look at this story of Matthew. We're going to listen to Matthew's own account of his own meeting with Jesus. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 9, and there's just a few verses from verse 9 onwards. So this is what Matthew says of himself, of his own meeting with Jesus. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does our teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn from what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Tax collectors were unpopular. Well, they're unpopular today, aren't they? Let's be honest. None of us really like tax collectors today. And they're just trying to do the law, do the right thing, aren't they? Today, tax collectors today are just doing what they're meant to be doing and following the right things. But they want to take money off us, so we don't like them. Back in the day, tax collectors were even worse because they weren't just taking money that was legal. They were taking money that was illegal as well. So they were local Jews that were employed by the Romans, Romans who occupied Israel, got the locals to basically be their tax collectors, and they were paid for that job. Now, what their pay was that they could basically charge anyone else what they wanted to. As long as the Romans got what they wanted, so if the Romans were asking for 5%, they could charge 10% and keep 5% to themselves. Now, as long as the Romans got their 5%, they didn't really care what the tax collectors charged. There was no kind of hard or fast rule. They just took what they could. But the Romans did protect them. So if you were a Jew and these tax collectors were asking you for your money, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't kind of appeal to some higher body. You just had to pay what you had to pay. And if you didn't, well, you got thrown into prison. So these Jews had turned on their own people. And so they were hated by their own people. They were excluded by their own people. They were rejected by their own people. They were on the edge. It wasn't a particularly nice kind of existence in the sense of you couldn't really walk down the street with people without people sort of sneering at you. But it paid quite well. And they had lots of money. And so for tax collectors, money mattered more than friendship, more than relationships, more than family. Matthew, also known as Levi, everything changed for him the day that Jesus walked past and invited him to be part of his community. Now, we don't know why that happened. We don't know what was going on in Matthew's life. Perhaps he'd got bored with that lifestyle. Perhaps he got bored of the fact that, okay, he had money, but actually he couldn't even talk to people. Perhaps that emptiness of living with money but without relationships had kind of was getting to him. And so when Jesus invited him to follow, he kind of saw the opportunity to get away and leave. But whatever it was, when Jesus said to him, follow me, Matthew got up and did that. I want to mention three things that followed that encounter and highlight that for us. The first is this. That's an intentional invitation. So while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. That's in verse 10. But if you listen to Luke's account, this is how Luke records it. Then Levi, Matthew, held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. So actually, Matthew's kind of downplaying himself a little bit here. What he actually did was, after he'd met Jesus, he threw a party, and he threw it for Jesus, and he invited all his mates. Now, remember, Matthew, as a tax collector, was kind of ostracized by society. He couldn't be part of the community. They didn't want anything to do with him. He was pushed to the edge. And so other people who had pushed to the edge of society at the same time were prostitutes and sinners, whatever that means. Ostracized from society. They were the people that Matthew could hang out with because no one else wanted him. No one else would allow him to be part of their community. So Matthew's circle of influence, Matthew's friendship group, Matthew's relational group was the people that were other tax collectors and other sinners, other prostitutes, whatever it may be. These other people that were excluded from society, they were the people that Matthew was hanging out with. And so when Matthew met Jesus, and through this party, he invited those people to come and meet Jesus as well. So how do people today meet Jesus? Now, we know that from listening to some of the stories that come out of the Muslim world, some Muslims encounter Jesus in a dream. Jesus sometimes does physically turn up and kind of appear to some people, but that's a very small minority, a very small percentage. By far and away, the largest way that God meets with people, Jesus meets with people today, is through his body here on earth. And who is his body? We are. We are the body of Christ here on earth. And the way that Jesus meets with people today is through us, through the community of God's people, through his body. Matthew invited his friends intentionally to a party to meet with Jesus. It didn't just happen. Matthew knew exactly what he was doing, but he wanted his friends to meet with Jesus. If Matthew had not thrown that party, if Matthew had not had a party for Jesus and invited his mates along to it, do we think those friends would have met Jesus in the same way? No. Matthew knew that the way to introduce people to Jesus was to have this intentional relationship, this intentional opportunity. And folks, that's the same for us, isn't it? We need to intentionally invite people to meet with Jesus. And we do that by inviting people to meet with us. Now, sometimes we invite people in to the church and then they encounter Jesus in this place, which is amazing. But sometimes we need to be thinking a little bit outside the box like Matthew was and go, okay, how do I get my friends to encounter Jesus? I know, I'll throw a party. I'll invite them along. But I'll also invite some of the body along. I'm open to invitations. How do we encounter and get people to encounter that and bridge that gap? To make friendships beyond the church walls. How many of us intentionally go out of our way to make sure we're connecting with people? Do we intentionally invite people in? I'm not having a go at anybody here, so please hear me through on this one. But if you've got a non-Christian spouse, when was the last time you invited them to come with you to church? They might say no, but occasionally they might surprise you and go, okay. We talked about a few weeks ago, didn't we, about the value of the invitation, because when you extend the invitation, you're actually saying to somebody, I value you, it's really important, and I want you to come with me. Your friends, your neighbours, your work colleagues, when was the last time you invited them to something? You know, we make in our own heads reasons why we shouldn't invite. We make the decision for them without actually saying to them, if you'd like to come, just come. And use Matthew's approach, throw a party, invite your friends and your family, and invite the body of Christ into that to encounter, so they can encounter Jesus. But I think there's an intentionality about this. Things don't just happen. We don't just connect with those beyond the four walls of this church unless we are intentional about it. My challenge to all of us, to me as well, is how intentional are we being about making those relationships, making those connections, about going out and inviting people to meet with Jesus. It's an amazing story of Matthew. One of the things we've got available is a little magazine, Hope for All. It's a new one that's come out. We got some sent some the other day. There's a few out there. They're free. Take one. Think about who you can invite. You can just hand it to. Just pass it on. Let someone read it. Intentionally building relationships. Intentionally building connections with people. And let's see opportunities for us to love people, to show God's love. The second thing I want to say, though, about Matthew is this. He recognises the influences around him at the time. Jesus said to Matthew, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. Now, when you look at the story of Peter and James and John, the fishermen, when Jesus asked them to follow him, they got up and they left their nets and they followed him. But then later in the Gospels, they went back to their nets. They went back to the fishermen, to the boats. So when they left their boats and their nets to follow Jesus, they didn't kind of sell up and get rid of everything because they kind of kept it. We don't know whether they kind of went back periodically to make a bit of money and to help themselves. We don't know what they did in that time. But Matthew couldn't hang on to his tax booth and follow Jesus. So he couldn't go back to that lifestyle after he'd chosen to follow Jesus because it's a lifestyle that was deceitful, dishonest, and it was not a good place to be. And in choosing, therefore, for Matthew, in choosing to follow Jesus, he not only had to kind of walk away and follow Jesus, but he had to leave behind those unhealthy influences from the past. Now, he kept those relationships because he invited them into that to meet Jesus. But actually, in terms of the lifestyle, the culture which he was living in, he had to leave all that behind. And for us, as we choose to follow Jesus, there's a challenge for us as well, isn't there? What are the things that maybe we need to leave behind? It may not be a tax booth, a place, although it might be. It might be somewhere where you go and actually we need to leave that behind. But it might be a culture, a way of thinking, a mindset, something which is of the old nature, which is holding us back from following Jesus. What are the things that we need to leave behind? Where are the influences that we need to leave behind in order that we can follow Jesus 100%? I've talked before about the influences of social media and how unhealthy that can be for so many people. And, you know, increasingly for the young people in our society, it's a negative thing. Talking to the head at the school, and he blames a lot of the decline in mental health in young people with social media. Now, it has its good things, it has positive things, but actually, ultimately, it also creates a culture of comparison, a culture of deceit, because they're not really honest, a culture of putting everything out there without any filters. And perhaps for some of us, that's something we need to be leaving behind. The influence that has upon us. But what are the things that we need to leave behind? Matthew, he kept his relationships, but he had to intentionally leave behind the influences, unhealthy influences of his past. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If we use that as a rule, there's an awful lot of things that we think about that don't actually match up with that. There's a lot of things that we allow to influence our minds for us to think about. Those influences we allow that kind of go against that. If it's excellent or praiseworthy, make that the rule. So as we choose to follow Jesus, we need to be wise about the influences that we have on our lives, those things that may, you know, be holding us back. And sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes that does mean it's people. And sometimes, you know, we don't necessarily can't hang on to every relationship from the past. Sometimes there are relationships in our past that we need to break because they are unhealthy influences on us. But it doesn't mean that we're not continuing to be intentionally about relationships beyond the church, but we need to be wise to recognize those unhealthy influences and to walk away from them and to break the connection to them. There's one thing I want to mention. We've mentioned these first two, and this is that this is something that doesn't actually come out of the text, but it's something I was reflecting on as I was preparing this. You know, Matthew, as we said, was a tax collector. Matthew was ostracized by his people. He was hated by the Jews. The Jews rejected him, pushed him to the outside. He was in the margins of society. These were people that turned on him. Now, we can understand why they did that, because he was fleecing them. You know, perfectly understandable, really. You know, we wouldn't like it either, would we? But there wasn't much love between Matthew and the other people around him. But when Matthew wrote his account of the life of Jesus, Matthew's gospel as we have it, who did he write it for? Those of you who know your Bible and have been through the Bible Fresh stuff, you might recall this. But Matthew's gospel was written directly for the Jews. He wrote his account because he wanted the Jewish people to understand that this Jesus who had come was their Messiah. The very people who had turned on him, who had rejected him, who had pushed him outside, who had hated him, were the people now that Matthew was most passionate about when he wrote his account. I just reflected on that, thinking, wow. It's not something that's in the text, but when we step back and we look at the big picture, we kind of get this transformation that happened in this man's life. That actually, that when he wrote his account, when he was inspired by God to write down the story of Jesus' life, the very people that had hated him and rejected him were the very people that he wanted to hear and wrote this letter for. And that's what happens when Jesus turns up and invites us and we respond and we follow him. If we let him, if we make sure that we follow him and leave the influences behind us, he transforms us. And even those that have hated us, those that have caused us harm and pain, can be people that we love. It doesn't happen overnight. It took Matthew 3 years plus wherever long to do that. But it's an interesting aspect to the life of Matthew that we just wanted to highlight this morning. So the question for all of us this morning is, have we met with Jesus? Have we encountered Jesus? And if we have, how have we responded to his invitation to come follow him? Because that's an invitation that's there. It's not based on who we are. It's not based on what we've done. Jesus says to all of us, come follow me. And if we want to accept that invitation, if we want to receive that invitation, then we can follow him. But then these other things, are we intentional in our relationships with those beyond the church? Are we recognizing there's a church community? We are Christ's body. It's how people in the community will know God loves them through us. Are we aware of those influences in our lives which are unhealthy and negative and of the past, and we need to reject them and move on? And are we open to God leading us to love those who have hurt us? Let's pray.